This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back on a Burgundy Gold Game Day on The Fan, presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Well, a touchdown with Rood. You could score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. It is Burgundy and Gold Game Day. It's also Open Line Thursday, and we're scheduled to talk to Dave Richard from CBS Sports, and he does join us now. You can link up with Dave three different ways on his fantasy football advice, at Dave Richard on X, live on YouTube every morning. You can search for Fantasy Football Today, and three times a week on Fantasy Football Today on the CBS Sports Network. What's going on, Dave?
Gentlemen, we are getting to about that time where one more loss in your fantasy league and it's over for you. Yeah. So we've got to do everything that we can to make sure that you keep your winning ways. When you go to set your lineup this week, I want you to set it up for week 12 before you set it up for week 11, because you need to see in advance just how many guys you might need to replace for next week. It's the Falcons, the Bills, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Saints, the Jets, all on bye. There's a lot of good quarterbacks that are going to be on bye, a lot of good running backs and receivers too. So when you go to set your lineups, and you should start tonight, set it for week 12 first, and then you'll get an idea of what you need to replace next week before you set it for week 11.
Hey, Dave, with B-Rob coming back into the lineup tonight for the Commanders, what do you do with Austin Eckler? Like, I have a full PPR where I have Eckler, Alexander Mattison, and Brian Thomas Jr. They're battling it out for one last spot. What do you do there?
Yeah, I don't feel good about any of those guys, but the one that has the most upside is clearly Brian Thomas Jr., so I would probably go in that direction. And look, it really comes down to what Eckler has done when Brian Thomas Jr. has been on the field. And it isn't a lot. He doesn't get a ton of touches. When Brian Thomas plays, he's got one game with double-digit touches.
You mean Brian Robinson?
Back in, yeah, with Robinson on the field. No, this is what Eckler's done when Robinson's on the field. If I said a different name, I'm sorry. You know me, I'm all over the place. But usually he's good for anywhere between 6 to 9 touches when B-Rob is also playing. And when you're just getting that many touches and you're probably not working near the goal line, you're going to need Eckler to break a big play. Mm-hmm. And this is a tough defense. Ever since the bye, Philadelphia's had their head screwed on straight. They've been outstanding against the run. They've been great against the pass. They've only allowed one touchdown catch in their last 5 games. This is not an easy defense for the Commanders to go up against. So I'm nervous about all Commanders running backs, and I would be nervous to start Austin Eckler this week, even as a flex.
Hey, Dave, Valdez is asking, Russ or Jaden Daniels this week?
Who are Jaden Daniels?
Russ.
So this is like for a super flex spot? Oh, no, you said Jaden Daniels, not Jaden Reed.
Right.
Why am I all over the place today? This is messed up. All right, I'm with you now, and it's Daniels. Russ has been great last 3 games. 2 of them have been awesome. 1 of them not so good, but it really should have been. I like the way that Russ has been playing. You guys saw him last week. Even though he completed 50% of his passes, he threw 3 touchdowns. I think Jaden Daniels just has more upside. And I know this Commanders, or the Eagles defense, rather, it's tough. They've been good. I talked about it. I still think Jaden Daniels has more upside. with his rushing, with his ability to just keep throwing to McLaurin and Ertz. I think that's the guy to go with.
All right, I don't know if this is a dumb question, but somebody hit me up and said, please ask Dave. Half PPR cakes, flex. I don't know if that's meaningful or not.
Okay, yes.
B-Rob, Cedric Tillman, or Ramondre Stevenson?
So I'll go with Tillman, and it's not a stupid question at all. And it really has to do more with the matchup that Robinson has and how much trust that I really want to put in Ramondre Stevenson against the Rams. And I know the Rams got blown up on Monday against the run, and now here they are playing on Sunday. I just like what Tillman's doing, and I like the matchup for the Browns going into New Orleans at Saints secondary. I don't think they're as good as Atlanta made them look last week. And honestly, Atlanta threw for over 300 yards, and Tillman's the number one receiver in Cleveland. And while I do think it is going to be a big week for Nick Chubb, I still think there will be enough there for Cedric Tillman, especially in a half PPR, to outscore those running backs.
All right, I'm getting greedy here. Before we go to the calls, can you trust Devontae Smith tonight? I know he came coming off a dud, and he's nursing a hamstring injury. What do you see there from Devontae?
So I watched the film from last week because I wanted to see just how slow he might be because of the hamstring, and I got to tell you, he looked like normal Devontae Smith, and the fact that he was open for what would have been a long touchdown and Jalen Hurts underthrew him, it made me sick because that's the type of play that we need from Devontae Smith for him to come through. I still like the matchup against the Commanders secondary. No Marshawn Lattimore yet means that they're still the same defense and the same personnel that they've been using all year. I am going to kind of temper expectations with him because there is so much downside. He's in that flex range for me, but if you're in a league that starts three wide receivers, or if he's your number two wide receiver and you just don't want to go and roll the dice with somebody else, I get it. You should start him because of his high upside, because he has the potential for one big play to be worth 13 or 14 fantasy points.
All right, let's head to the MGM National Harbor. Listener lines, 800-636-1067. Now is your chance to ask Dave Richard those important Week 11 questions.
All right, let's go to JoJo in Hyattsville. Hey, JoJo, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, fellas. Half point PPR, start 2 of 5. Tillman, Myers, Brian Thomas Jr., Calvin Ridley, or Smith and Jigba?
I like Myers and I like Calvin Ridley from that group. And JSN, just as an example, everybody loves to try and wedge him in the lineups. DK Metcalf's back. I think he has only one game in his career with over 15 PPR points. That's full PPR points with DK Metcalf. I just like the role that Myers and Ridley have with their respective teams. They're the number one wide receivers. They're going to get a lot of targets. It's kind of a double-edged sword with them because their quarterbacks can be pretty bad. But we saw it last week. Calvin Ridley found pay dirt not only early in the game against a good Chargers defense, but also late in the game in garbage time. And so that's something they all count the same in fantasy. Ridley's going to get a lot of work. He's still as fast and quick as ever. I've got him as a number two wide receiver. I have both those guys as number two wide receivers this week.
Best of luck, JoJo. Thanks for the call.
All right, let's go to Steve Portsmouth. Steve, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. I'm in a standard league. I need one. Romeo Doubs, Gus Edwards, or Quentin Johnson, and then Zach Ertz or Jake Ferguson.
I'll go with Ferguson over Ertz, and I just like the role and the big play chances that Quentin Johnston has. And we don't quite see that from Doubs. We do on occasion, but Doubs' matchup against Chicago is tough, and I kind of feel like this is the Bears' last stand. This is their Super Bowl for the year, playing against Green Bay after their offensive coordinator got fired. Everyone knows just how down the Bears are. I think the defense will try and bounce back. So I like the matchup a little bit better for Quentin Johnson against Cincinnati, and I like his chances to not just reel in like a 40-yard touchdown. He had a red zone touchdown last week. He just didn't have a lot of catches because the Chargers didn't throw that much. I think they're going to have to throw more this week against Cincinnati.
All right, thank you, Steve. Dave. Let's go to Pastor Jacques Bristow. Hey, buddy.
Good morning, friends. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, good.
I saw a picture of you and Mike the Banker.
Oh, last night at a volleyball match. Yeah, I met him for the first time. He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy. He's on the Ozempic, you know.
Why do you have to call him out every time?
I just think it's funny. What's up, Pastor Jacques?
Here's the question, Dave. It's a half PPR. It destroys me to even ask this, but do I roll out CeeDee Lamb and don't overthink it, or do I swerve and play Ladd McConkey in a plus matchup, or even Calvin Ridley, who has been, like you said, on a little bit of a heater lately?
He has been on a heater, but he's got the same thing in his favor that CeeDee Lamb has in his favor, and that's volume. And so you can kind of take that factor out of the way for Calvin Ridley. The problem with Lamb, just by comparison to Ridley, for example, is that he's not going to get a lot of deep catches, but he is going to get a lot of catches. And you've got to hope that this week when he gets thrown at in the end zone, the stupid sun isn't going to be coming in through the giant window at AT&T Stadium. If he catches that pass, he's over 15 PPR points last week. So I think people don't complain or worry that much about CeeDee Lamb. And against Houston, that secondary, that whole defense was supposed to be like one of the toughest defenses to play against in the league, and they're not. They haven't been. And so there's opportunities there for CeeDee Lamb, even with stupid Cooper Rush thrown to him, and he's not really stupid. I'm just, lamenting my luck. I might have CeeDee Lamb on a couple of teams myself. There's still a chance for him to have a good game. So I'm okay with CeeDee Lamb over Calvin Ridley.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Jacques. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Jason. Jason, what's up? You're on with Dave Richard.
How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, Dave? I need two. I got Ridley, Njigba, Mooney, or Swift.
And do you know what catches count for in your league, sir?
Yeah, it's PPR.
Okay, good. So I would actually, I think I'd stay away from Swift and go with Ridley and Mooney just because I think volume will help them. Here's something I noticed about Darnell Mooney. His efficiency spikes when he's targeted, when Kirk Cousins is under duress, meaning he's pressured, the pass rush is getting to him. His target share, his target per route run rate is down when that happens, but when he does get targets, he makes things happen. So I kind of buy into Mooney. I like him better than even Drake London this week in full PPR. So I would go with Mooney, and I would go with Ridley. And it wouldn't surprise me if DeAndre Swift had a good game. Chicago's offensive line will get healthy, and like I told you, this Bears offense, this is their last stand for their coaches, for each other. This is really the most important game that they'll play this year. So it wouldn't surprise me if DeAndre Swift ended up having a good game. I just don't know how many catches he'll get. And so I'd rather go with the players that are going to get you points for those catches and could still score just as easily as DeAndre Swift could.
Dave, I'm assuming you're worried about Patrick Surtain in the Drake London matchup. Like, I just can't sit Drake London. I don't have a plethora of wide receivers that I can plug in over him. Like, you still have to play him, right? You just probably temper your expectations.
Well, I mean, to put it a different way, I've got him in the same range as Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you know how I feel about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I would start Devontae Smith, who's just as boom or bust as any wide receiver out there, over Drake London. There is a serious track record of number one wide receivers with the same type of skill set as Drake London, meaning that they line up wide frequently. They're not necessarily the fastest guys on the field, and in Drake London, he's never the fastest guy on the field. Those types of receivers have been taken away by Denver, and it's not just Surtain. It's McMillan. I think the other corner, I don't remember the other corner's name off the top of my head, but they play good fundamental defense, and they rush the quarterback a lot. And his numbers, yeah, I talked about Mooney's efficiency when Kirk Cousins is pressured. When Kirk Cousins is pressured, I don't think Drake London even has a touchdown this year. All of his touchdowns have come when Kirk Cousins has had it nice and easy in the pocket, no pressure on him. That's not going to be the case that often this week against Denver. I actually think the Broncos win.
All right, it's speed round time. No stammering, no stuttering, no small talk, no shaky voice, no dumb questions, no Bluetooth or speakerphones. Drab's very insistent upon that. And don't disrespect Dave's advice. I hope the listeners are ready.
All right, let's go to Mike. Speed round, go.
Gesicki, Roma Dunze, or Dallas Goedert?
It's going to be Gesicki, assuming that T. Higgins is out.
Higgins never
Can
plays
I take
anymore.
Goddard over Roma Dunze, too?
I guess.
Second question, not allowed.
Not allowed? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
I slipped on that. It's my bad.
Let's go
it's
to
my,
Scott.
I let my guard down, Valdez.
Crofton, speed round, go.
C.J. Stroud, Jared Goff.
That's how it's done.
Goff.
Let's go to Kevin, speed round, go.
PPR, Pickens, or Jacoby Myers? Go Commanders.
Woo!
Pickens is a top five receiver.
Oof. Look at that.
Let's go to Patrick. Speed round, go.
Half PPR, Hill or B-Rob? Flex spot.
I don't know which Hill you mean. Could it be Tyreek? Could it be Taysom?
Tyreek.
I'm going to say that you meant Tyreek. I'll go Tyreek over Brian Robinson.
Let's go Guy. Speed round, go.
Estime, Adel Day, or Addison May?
I don't know who you were trying to say with the second name. I would take Addison over.
Addle Day.
Picks, you want
to? He's doing too many bits.
Can you just humor me, though? I mean, was he doing the pig Latin
thing?
No,
he's doing Audric Estime. That's the dude's real name. And then I couldn't make out the second name, but he's doing the Jordan Addison Lay Day bit. He's adding an A to the end of the guy's name when it doesn't belong.
Yes, it was like pig Latin.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
He just gave us all like an audio traffic jam.
Yeah, my head hurts right now.
The worst thing ever.
I want to go home. Joseph, speed round, go.
Purdy Burrow.
Purdy.
See, that's how it's done. Nice and simple.
Jason, speed round, go.
Dowdle or Williams?
Dowdle over Javonte Williams. I think that's
who. I mean, which Williams? There's 100 Williams.
Yeah, Williams from Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to start Williams from Denver anytime soon.
All right, there you go.
All right, Dave, we got them all in. Best of luck to you in week 11 with your 96 different teams that you trot out every week.
Take it easy. It's only 53 teams. It's only 53. Right. Same to you guys. Wins are important. Go get them. If you have any questions, find me on X at Dave Richard.
I mean, your Tuesday night waivers must be a just complete debacle. If you have,
you know, I put on some Barry White and light a candle and do my waivers.
As you should. All right, Dave.
Valdez does that too.
Best of luck, and we'll talk to you again next week. That's Dave Richard, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Experts. Three ways to link up with Dave and his fantasy football advice on X at Dave Richard. Live on YouTube every morning by searching for Fantasy Football Today, and three times per week on Fantasy Football Today on CBS Sports Network. Coming up next, we'll talk some Washington Capitals hockey with Nick Dowd. He'll join us next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
On the Fan. Welcome back to a Burgundy and Gold Game Day on the Fan, presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. Coming up in about 35 minutes, we will talk more Commanders-Eagles with Elliot Shore Parks. He covers the Eagles for WIP in Philly. By my terrible math, we are roughly 12 hours from kick. I think the games usually kick around 8:20 on Thursday nights. Hopefully this is a good Thursday night game. There have been a lot of dud Thursday night games in the past few years. I think tonight's going to be a good one. I think you're going to see a lot of points. Hopefully a lot of up and down action between the two teams. A lot of scoring. Hopefully Jaden gets out of that rushing funk from the last game when the Steelers had him contained. He didn't have very many attempts. 3 for 5 yards.
I think he will.
Hopefully he gets around the corner, gets some big gainers, keeps the chains moving for the Commanders, able to keep pace with a high-powered Philly offense.
Tomorrow's going to be interesting. If they win, everybody's going to be ecstatic. It's high, back in first place. Mm-hmm. If they get pounded.
And they're not going to get pounded.
It's possible. It'll be a freakout Friday.
I don't think they're going to get pounded. They might lose. I don't think they're going to just get embarrassed. I think those days are done.
Oh, I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Steelers within 1 point of them. I don't see them getting embarrassed and outclassed by the Eagles, no matter how hot the Eagles have been.
I mean, I'm sure, listen, Philly could score a bunch of points, but so can we.
I tend to agree.
Right. So, I don't think they're just going to shut down our offense completely. I mean, they might hold us to 17 or something.
I mean, let's remember at the beginning of this 5-game win streak for the Eagles, they squeaked in a 4-point win over the lowly Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's not act like this team is unbeatable.
Well, that's what I got out of Baldy. He talked about all the games that they squeaked.
Right.
I mean, there was two or three of them. Now, I could say the same maybe about Washington.
They've had exactly one legitimate opponent in the last five.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's going to make it two out of their last six.
Right.
Because this is the biggest test they're going to face since they took on the Bengals a few weeks ago. A team that can actually push back and score against them, unlike a team like the Giants, who I believe managed just 3 points against the Eagles, and the terrible Jaguars.
Okay, but the last four wins for the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Browns, Bears on a Hail Mary, Giants, and who am I missing? Cardinals. All right, the Cardinals is looking back on
Cardinals
good
are
win.
6-4. They've won four straight. That's a legit win.
And
the Commanders throttled them.
I like the Bengals win. I don't care what their record is. I like the Bengals win just based on their talent.
That was a really good win. On the road, relatively early in the season.
Look, I think this is going to be often like, you know, anytime you play a tough opponent, I always have kind of the same thought. Can a defense force punts?
Right.
Can we get them off the field? If we can, I think we'll be fine.
Can you get them in third and longs, or is it going to be all night like third and twos, third and threes, third and ones? Like, if you see that all night, that's going to be real trouble for this defense.
And I'd like to see us get off to a little bit better start than we did last week. You know, last week it was kind of a struggle at first.
Started with a 3-and-out offensively.
Yeah, and I just wasn't used to seeing that.
He missed. I think it was Oz was wide open on a crosser, and he just missed him, just led him too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was off on a few throws. But I do think he got really screwed on with drops. And we'll see. I think they tightened up their protection schemes as a second half.
Do you like Zach Ertz being named one of the captains in his revenge slash return game to the Philadelphia Eagles?
I don't put that much stock in it. Mm. I don't think it matters too much.
I put way too much stock into revenge game narratives, returning to play your former team.
Being a captain in the NFL, I don't think it's that meaningful.
It's probably not that big of a deal.
It's not meaningful, really. Like, for coaching kids, they all want to be captains and get out there and do the coin flip and that sort of thing. They'll fight for that.
No, what's the number on a Zach Ertz tutty in his return to Philly? It's got to be a big number. It's got to be a tasty one.
On FanDuel?
He hasn't really done much
touchdown. Plus 320.
Plus 320. Yeah, that might be worth a sprinkle of 10 or 15 bucks.
You want to really get paid?
Yes.
1,800. Plus 1,800, John Bates.
Well, that's just
all right, what about
legitimately lighting your money on fire.
Sinnott.
He's got three catches this year.
Hey, you're looking for a lottery ticket.
Sinnott should be plus a trillion.
He's plus 2,000.
Hold on, what are you trying to buy? You have something in your crosshairs that you're trying to buy.
No, I'm just
yes, you do, because you're trying to hit a lotto ticket.
No,
you want De'Ami Brown, Zach Ertz, TDs.
I'm just looking. The other ones, they're not.
Zach Ertz seems like a layup compared to some of those other things I'm hearing.
Hold on. How many touchdowns does Sinnott have? One or two? Remember, he had like one for one at one point?
He can't have more than one.
He had like one catch, one touchdown.
Yeah, he has one from Mariota.
There's no way he has more than one.
Yeah. I mean, he has three catches for 18 yards this season.
All right. I'm just saying.
You're trying to increase your slush fund.
My slush fund needs to be refilled for sure.
It's early. I don't know the right way to say this. Sinnott is the rare early misfire from Adam Peters.
I don't think so. I think he's going to be a stud.
I hope so. Maybe he's just serving.
They've targeted him like five times.
Here's what I'm chalking it up as. He's serving an apprenticeship year under Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
He's learning the ropes.
No. And then I've lost no faith in him. I think he is a monster.
He's been targeted three times.
I've lost a little bit of faith.
A monster?
I think he's going to be really good.
Basically, everything else Adam Peters has waved his magic wand at has worked and has hit. Sinnott hasn't hit.
Sinnott's just, but he's just biding his time.
But also, if he was better, he'd be out-targeting Zach Ertz, and he would be out-playing Zach Ertz.
Maybe, but I don't think that was ever the plan.
Maybe not. Maybe this is
right. This is
redshirt year.
His apprenticeship
year. Which is fine, but next year, my crosshairs are on you, Ben Sinnott. Just know that.
I think he's going to be good.
Next year,
I like him.
I better see What's the number? What's the magic number?
45.
All right, I got another one for you.
That's way too high.
I got another one for
28
you.
28 and a half catches. I need to see more than 28
This one's
and a half.
More realistic.
In year two.
Second round pick, can't see the field.
Listen.
I'm starting to target him.
See,
do you think he's a
third?
Bust? I don't think he's a bust. I mean, he's done nothing, but I like the skill set. I think he's going to be good. Luke McCaffrey, plus 850.
He's taking a long shot.
I'm on to him.
What do you mean you're on to me?
You just spent a boatload of money on golf apparel.
A driver.
On a driver, yeah. Which was in your slush fund.
Correct.
And now you're trying to hit a lotto ticket to replenish the slush fund.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like it. I don't mind. Yeah.
But I don't think that's outrageous.
I'm just saying, don't disguise it.
I'm not disguising it. I'm not. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by long shots that I think I could hit.
Who's the longest shot listed for the Commanders to score today?
It's got to be Sinnott.
Sinnott's the guy.
Yeah. You liked my De'Ami Brown. Then you didn't like my other ones.
I never said I had
one last week.
Hey, how much does an anytime touchdown parlay pay between Ertz, De'Ami Brown, and Luke McCaffrey?
No,
all
I can't
three
do that.
Of them?
All three
no,
of them.
No, let's just do pick two.
All three of them.
Pick two. All right, you want to do it?
No, I'm listening to you. You're the guru.
I'm not the guru.
And you have the vibes.
My initial vibe was on De'Ami. All right, let me see. I'll put De'Ami, Sinnott, and...
Just do two.
How much is that?
That number's going to be long enough as it
yeah,
is.
How much does 10 bucks pay on that?
Let me see.
Hold on.
Oh, I got to put it in the same game parlay?
Sure.
Plus, is this right, Cakes? Plus 16,599?
Sounds about right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Dude, let's do that.
What does 10 bucks pay for that? You realize I have to do it because I'll be kicking myself.
Pay 1600. A De'Ami Sinnott touch.
Put it in. Because if it hits, I'm going to have so much FOMO.
Oh, you're on the worst case of FOMO in the history of the world.
All right, let me add Luke.
Sure, why not?
Let's add Luke. $10 pays 8,600. Dude.
FanDuel just makes money.
What if I put 100 on it? 86,000.
The FanDuel algorithm is laughing at this.
I'm gonna put one commercial read on it.
This is the only bet that FanDuel is seeing with that combination of players in it. Guaranteed. It might spit the bet out. It doesn't even know what to do with it. Doesn't know how it's processed.
You might break FanDuel.
They might ban me like Dana White banned from all the casinos in Vegas playing blackjack.
Oh, is he on their FUBAR list?
Oh, he gets banned from
$2 million.
Well, I mean, if you're the casino, don't you want him coming in and betting $2 million?
Yeah, but over time. No, his dream is to play $1 million a hand.
Something like that.
But he doesn't. But I think he beat the Palms for like $9 million.
Is the Palm still a thing?
Yeah.
They're still in operation?
They just banned him. I think MGM has banned him.
Okay.
He's got a bunch that he's been banned.
Oh.
How about a De'Ami Brown, Ben Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey, and Jerry McNichols?
They're going to score four. All four of those guys are going to score?
Let me see.
Is Jeremy McNichols even going to be active with B-Rob? He might not be active.
Oh, I don't even get. You don't even. I guess it tops out at 86,000. I guess they don't give me any more.
These are the maximum odds you're allowed.
Yeah, I guess
they have to have a cap somewhere.
I guess they capped
at some point.
Yeah.
So Cakes during the break joked when we were wondering whether Nick Dowd, who's scheduled to join us, would join us this segment. He took a big hit yesterday.
I mean, I
left the game
really
in the second period.
Like, he took a serious hit to the
head.
And
he came back later in the game.
Yeah, but he was bloody. He had to leave the ice. Like, it was. It looked potentially serious, but he was back. But I mean, you take a shot to the head like that, it's a good chance you sleep through your call to the junks.
Dude, I watched the replay of their overtime goal, and Ovi literally missed a goal right before it by an inch.
Yeah,
he tried to go between the wickets.
The overtime goal.
Yes, he tried to go between the dude's legs. Did you see the clip?
I did.
He literally
not.
Just hit in between the pads. Like how? How often do they actually target between the legs? Is that
rare?
The five hole? How often?
I think it's pretty common.
It's fairly common.
Pretty common target.
So,
yeah.
The goalie came out, took away his angle. So I guess that's all he had.
Yeah.
He tried to go between his legs.
Trying to keep it nice and low.
There was definitely a big hole there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it just barely missed. And then, like as JP pointed out, because they're playing 3-on-3, they had a breakaway and that was it.
Right.
Game over.
Yep.
And Carbs was lit.
Carbs was not a happy camper.
Well, because they scored the last three goals of the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Carp said the last half hour of the game was basically an embarrassment. He was embarrassed by the effort.
Did Dowd ever respond? Does he want to come on later?
The Caps are trying to get a hold of him still.
Yeah.
It is Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, Open Line Thursday presented by Window Nation. Search for new windows and doors. Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. So I wanted to bring this up real quick because it's kind of intriguing. Yesterday, I'm driving around and flipping through the stations, and I happen to hear a little of Doug Gottlieb's show. And we've talked about Doug Gottlieb because he's doing the bit where he's coaching a team.
Yep.
And he's still doing his radio show.
Yep.
So I listened to him for a couple minutes. He was all fired up about this Bronny James deal. So it came out that Bronny James is playing for the G League team, which people expected.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not flying to road games. He's only playing home games. And then Gottlieb, who I think lives out there, just went on this diatribe about, well, when he played in high school, he wasn't even the best player on his team. And he said in the league, there was another team that had four guys. One of them's in the pros, a couple guys playing college. He wasn't as good as any of those guys. And he was just, you know, it is what it is. He's like, they can do whatever they want. They're hooking up his dad, but it's a joke. He's not even, he's in the G League team, but only for half.
Right.
Yeah, and I think he's suiting up for home games for the Lakers, too.
Yeah, he's scored in the NBA a couple times.
No, but
now.
I think even he's going to continue. It's so he's ridiculous. Like doing both.
Bronny's a Nepo.
It's almost like he's a mascot.
Nepo baby.
Yeah.
He's a, this is the way things work when you have a famous father with a lot of clout and power.
I really don't like his dad, but I do feel bad for him, so I kind of root for him.
I used to root heavily against LeBron. But man, I respect the hell out of what he's doing.
Well, so
he's had three straight triple doubles at this age.
But I'm getting,
and you can tell he doesn't get up like he used to.
Yeah,
but he's just so savvy. He's found a way to do it.
I got Barry Bonds vibes. Is there some performance enhancing?
Something artificial there?
It's not right. You can't be this explosive, this fit and everything at that age. I don't know. It seems crazy to me. We thought Barry Bonds was unreal. We kind of knew, but then when you really found out, it kind of taints it, right? Think about how dominant Barry was. Once you found out for sure, I mean, you knew when you saw the pictures. It did taint your opinion of him a little bit.
Sure. It added pure strength, which is why he hit the home runs.
Yeah, I mean, it totally made him outlier, a total outlier.
All right, but for LeBron, you can tell he's not as fast. He doesn't jump as high. Now, if he's on something, it can certainly help with recovery and all those things. But
he's on something.
He's just smart, man. He knows how to score. Well, knows how to figure it out. He's
an all-time great. No denying that.
Coming up next, we'll take a look around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. And don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, Elliot Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles for WIP in Philly, will go behind enemy lines with him as the Commanders prepare to take on the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Let's do the Junkies Blitz before we talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He covers the Eagles for WIP in Philly. He'll be on the show at 9 o'clock. Blitz brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis for a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture, too.
So I saw this article about the worst quarterback situations in the NFL, and I want to go through that. But before that, I want to tackle Deion Sanders.
Okay.
He is being rumored as a potential head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, seems like a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering your stance on Deion, second season with Colorado. They're potentially going to make the college football playoff this year. Depends on what happens this weekend. But they have turned it around, largely because of the transfer portal, largely because of his son.
Mm-hmm.
His son is going to go to the pros. I've also seen, well, what if he engineered his son going to the Giants and he took over as the Giants head coach?
Well, here's another one. I never watch this show, mostly because I'm just jealous of just the insane amount of money that, that Wilbon and Kornheiser are raking
in. PTI, yeah.
And those guys have probably made...
so much money.
God, they probably made $150 million each. I mean, an amazing amount of money.
Ungodly amounts of cash.
They were speculating beyond Dallas, what about Florida State? Go back there and revitalize that program, which would be an easier, probably, again, with the transfer portal.
I can see
anything's possible.
I can see all of those spots in play for Dion.
Yeah. I would think maybe, I think Dallas might be more, like Jerry Jones, I think, would give you several years to turn around. I think it would be hard, though.
It's been pretty loyal.
Yeah. He was on Speak, which is a show on Fox with Michael Irvin, and Irvin asked him about coaching the Cowboys, and he didn't deny it. He said, "I love it where I am." But do you think
you have to say
like
that.
It was kind of a wild thing for him to take Colorado's job, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of was unexpected. Mm-hmm. Would an NFL team take a swing at a big hire like that?
If he finishes strong, it'd be hard not to.
He'll be in the mix. He'll be.
I mean, I've
considered.
Seen Oregon's coach's name in the mix.
Dan Lanning.
I'm kind of torn on Dion because, like, I loved him as a player, super fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you not? And as a coach, I think he does some really inspiring things. But then I also think he does some really douchey things. I'm really torn on Dion, to be honest with you.
He'll be entertaining at the press conference every single week.
Yeah. I don't know.
Most coaches are CEO types, are boring.
Grab,
they give
are
you nothing.
With me? Are you pro Dion or are you anti? I'm like really torn on him.
No, I like Dion. I'm not torn on him, but he does, you know, he can be annoying at times. But
he's like a douche.
That's who he is. That's
just kind a brash
of his,
guy.
That's kind of his swagger, yeah. And he's been doing it for 40 years. So I think he's fun to watch. He's entertaining, brings a lot of eyeballs. I think maybe in the beginning I was rooting against Colorado, but not as much anymore.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm rooting against him. I'm just torn on him. I think the way he treated like the kids that worked their lives to get their scholarships to Colorado, and just like, yeah, you're not good enough, you're out of here. Like, I just
that's to be whatever. Fair, they were like 1-11. Like he had
okay,
he
but they didn't go there and promise that they would have they'd win national title. I mean, they worked hard for their scholarships.
Well,
you know,
he had
I'm
a higher,
sympathetic to
he
the
had
kids.
A higher standard. I mean, I feel bad for those kids, but they landed on their feet elsewhere. I would assume.
Well, I doubt it. I bet a bunch of them didn't. Bunch of them, that was probably the end of their run.
They're 7-2. They were, as you said, a one-win team two seasons ago. Last year, where they went 4. And he got all that national attention because they started off strong.
And they're holding out. Now, they have good wins this year? Like, how many of the wins are considered, like, legitimately really solid wins?
Not many.
I don't think they've beaten a ranked team. They lost to Kansas State, who was ranked by a field goal.
Uh-huh.
Remember, they started off the year... they beat, they lost Nebraska pretty handily.
Right. I remember that one.
But they're 7-2. I mean, their wins include Colorado State, Baylor, UCF, Arizona, Cincinnati, Texas Tech.
Hey. So,
just interesting. This one for Cakes and EB, because you guys love to talk about Bitcoin. Odell was taking a victory lap because apparently he was mocked when he signed a contract.
It was mocking.
To be paid in Bitcoin.
Well, him and Russell Okung.
Yeah, now he's firing back.
Russell Okung really hit a home run.
Yeah.
If he kept it.
Oh, I think he kept it all.
Yeah, because that was quite a few years ago.
Yeah, man. I think he took half of his $13 million salary in Bitcoin. I think from what
probably
I read.
Probably when it was about 10 grand.
His six and a half has turned into over $45 million.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good
return.
It's a pretty good parlay.
I think OBJ's has only gone up maybe like 50% or so because he took
still,
it.
You'll take
took it. It was like 60. And like it touched 90 last night.
Still take a 50% ROI.
Oh, that's great.
All right, here's your 6 quarterback situations. You can grade them.
Okay.
They might all get Fs.
Sure, maybe F minus.
In this article, is trying to figure out which quarterback situation is the worst. But let's just
currently,
individually give grades.
Can I just guess the worst? Or are you going from 6 to 1?
It wasn't actually... in some sort of order, I don't think.
Well, in my opinion, right now, your worst quarterback situation is Cooper Rush / Trey Lance.
All right.
That has to be in the mix.
It didn't include that because I think you're talking about Dak Prescott. It's talking about the future, and Dak would be back.
The future.
And you have
okay.
a starting quarterback.
All right.
I mean, I personally think that the worst may be the Cleveland Browns, but there's some pretty bad situations because you've got Deshaun, You've got Jameis. They've got DTR, and they have Bailey Zappe.
Right. All those other guys don't matter. It's Deshaun with the huge cap number that is strangling them, I think, for the next two seasons, where they still are owing him money.
All right, so I'm...
You want us to say which one's the worst?
Let's do this. Let's do it this way. So I'll start with the Browns, and you tell me if a situation is worse. All right, so the Browns are
the
bad.
The Browns are the gold standard for being terrible right now.
But the Giants. You know that Daniel Jones isn't the guy.
Right. Drew Lock.
You got Drew Lock and you
Tommy
got
DeVito.
Tommy DeVito.
They're better. I like Daniel Jones at times. At times,
but
Daniel
for the future?
I mean, the future is bleak.
There is no future
the
with Daniel
bleak,
Jones.
The future's bleak, but I mean, if I had to bet, I would bet on Daniel Jones over there.
My guess is next season, none of those guys you just mentioned for the Giants will be in that quarterback room.
All right, so you think the Browns are worse than the Giants. Okay. How about the Vegas Raiders? Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and this week they're starting Desmond Ridder.
Okay, that's one of the worst collections of quarterbacks I've ever heard.
The thing is, Minshew's had moments, but he's just not a weekly guy.
It's like having Sam Howell. Don't have a guy.
I would keep Gardner Minshew as a decent backup, and of course, then they're drafting somebody in the top five or six, Shedeur Sanders, whoever it is. Like, those other guys can, Aiden O'Connell, Desmond Ridder, throw them overboard.
Browns worse?
The Browns are worse because they're hampered by the Deshaun Watson contract. That makes that one worse than all of the rest you're going to mention by far.
All right, what's worse, the Giants or the Raiders?
The Giants.
Okay.
But it's close. I mean, they're all close. All
right. I think the Raiders is worse.
They're both pretty putrid.
All right, how about the Colts? They're going back to Anthony Richardson. On Sunday, I believe the head coach was asked if Flacco would be starting, and he said, yes, Flacco's to start.
Two days later,
it's back to Anthony Richardson.
Irsay's making a decision.
Their situation is better because I still feel like
there's a
little something to work with Anthony Richardson.
But the rumblings are
40% completion percentage.
I don't like 40%.
The rumblings are that they had to bench him because he was showing up late to meetings and some of the work ethic issues.
Oh, he's got work ethic issues?
That's what some of the rumblings are.
You got no shot.
I hadn't heard that.
Now, he said that if you watched his presser yesterday or whatever, locker room interviews, he said that he thinks that the benching was good for him. He's been humbled. Yeah. And
you know what he should
he's
do?
Saying the right things.
He should look up Tom Coughlin's definition of being late. Like, back in the day, if you were 5 minutes early to a Tom Coughlin meeting, you were late. Like, he should be 20 minutes early to the meetings.
I'd have been
he definitely shouldn't
under
be
Tom
late.
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, you would not coexist well with Tom Coughlin.
All right. The Jets.
Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor.
Jordan Travis. And like, you're kind of stuck with Aaron Rodgers.
For next year?
Yes. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, he's pretty sure he's going to be back.
Would you want
If I'm
that?
The Jets, I'm going to say, get out. You're right. No good.
That's what I'm saying.
You're washed. I can't have you anymore.
It's still Aaron Rodgers. He's better than Anthony Richardson and all those other guys. Yes, he is.
It's still Aaron Rodgers. This is not the Aaron Rodgers of 5 or 7 years ago.
I understand, but he's still better than Anthony Richardson.
It's over.
It might be. It might. The peak is certainly over. But he's better than Anthony Richardson on his worst day.
It's over.
Yeah. They've got three wins this year.
He's at the point where he's tarnishing his legacy.
They have three wins, and they've done everything. They brought in Davante Adams for him.
They brought in his BFF.
Well, he needs to get out of the dark rooms and everything, and just work on his craft in the offseason.
They said the same thing about Favre after his season in New York, he went to the Vikings and had an MVP caliber year.
I've seen guys do this. Witchcraft
possible.
To help his season.
Possible. So you're saying that's a better situation.
He still has arm talent. He looks slow.
So of all the teams, you'd rather be the Jets right now than Cleveland, the
for
Giants,
year,
Vegas, and the Colts.
I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers and all those other bums next year. Diminished Aaron Rodgers.
The last in the article, Thatchway, would you rather be the Bears?
Yes, I'd rather have a former number one pick in Caleb Williams.
I can't believe that veterans on that team want to bench him. I know he hadn't been great.
There's some rumblings about that. I don't know.
I'm stunned by that, actually. It's like 9 games in his career, they want to bench him?
It's surprising because
like a
the backup.
Month ago, we had 4 touchdowns in a game.
The backup is
Tyson Bagent. I'm not going to goof on him because he's a small school kid who's made it to the NFL. Good for him.
Shepherd College or something?
Yeah, he shouldn't be starting.
But maybe
in the
if
NFL,
you're a receiver and you're saying, I'm getting open on these routes. I saw a breakdown yesterday, and there were literally three guys that Caleb could have thrown to. Mm-hmm. Now, there were, I think it was Orlovsky. It was like, they're admittedly tight windows. So it was like a super tight window in the middle. It's super, he had to throw it like on the break to DJ Moore, but he got open, and he didn't pull the trigger, and he ends up getting sacked. Like, he's holding on to the ball.
You didn't mention the Titans.
I didn't. Because I'm just going with the article that was in there.
I mean, don't you think they're pretty dreadful?
I don't know.
Who's their back?
Levis. Levis had two touchdowns last week. Maybe they think Levis still got a shot.
Levis is marginally better than Anthony Richardson.
Didn't Levis get sacked like seven times last week? He's not the answer. He's clearly not the answer.
He's marginally better than Richardson.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into Commanders and Eagles. We'll get predictions and give you keys to the game as well.
I want to go to Josh. Let's talk about Patricia. Patricia the Lemur. I'll do that. We can do that.
We can mix that in on Open Line Thursday as well. And don't forget Elliot Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles for WIP in Philadelphia. He'll join the show coming up at 9:20.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.